I guess she's telling
us. Thank you very much, Kathy. That's the recording that we started. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, everybody. This is the Policy and Implementation Working Principles Subteam meeting on the 12th of December 2013. On the call today, we have Alan Greenberg, Chuck Gomes, Greg Chatton, Nick Steinbach, and Michael Graham. From staff, we have Marika Koenigs, Mary Wong, and myself, Michael Perrigan. We received no apologies for today's call. I'd like to remind you all to please state your names before speaking for transcription purposes. Thank you very much, and over to you.
Thanks. This is Chuck. Now, I see Cheryl in the Adobe, but I take it we haven't connected with her in the audio. Is that correct?
That is correct, yes. We're trying to do so now.
Okay. So, Cheryl, if you can confirm, well, she can't hear me, so... Never mind.
Everyone not present, please put your hand up.
Thanks, Alan. Okay, now, the only reason I'm taking off with the lead is because nobody's volunteered to do that for this subteam. This is the, as Natalie said, the Policy and Implementation Principles subteam, also known as Subteam 0B. Let's just get going. So thanks for having the Word document up. To me, that's a good way for us to tackle issue by issue and keep track of comments. I hope others are okay with that and find that useful. Alan, go ahead.
Thank you. I have two comments. Number one, first, I'll apologize for being silent on the list and not commenting on the document. I've just been distracted by other things, let us say. And the second is, I wasn't on the group that created this drafting team. Can anyone explain the name? 0B?
I asked that question some time ago, but let's let Marika answer it again.
Yeah, this is Marika. I think it explains itself when you look at the work plan, because basically we identified that there were a couple of sub-teams that would needed to look at the deliverables for the charter questions that had, you know, are linked with the numbers of the charter questions. But then after that, we realized that there were some tasks that needed to be done before we could actually start with a charter question. So we had the, I think what was the sub-team 0A, which was the work, or I think the 0A is the working definitions sub-team, and 0B is the working principles sub-team. In the address, it was easier or shorter to do the 0B instead of working principles sub-team, so hence the name.
With 0A disappearing, this became really obscure. But thank you.
Okay. Now, my suggestion, and this is open to discussion by everybody, is that we just go through the principles one by one. I don't think... It's necessary to read all of the comments on them unless that's helpful to someone, but see, kind of get a feel for where those of us that are on the call are at with regard to the principles, whether there might be some rewording of some of them or maybe we throw some out or add some or whatever. Anybody object to that approach? Okay, seeing no objections, let's start. And is there anybody that's not on Adobe?
I'm finally here, Chuck. Thanks.
Oh, hi, Cheryl. It's good to hear your voice. We didn't know if we were going to be able to have that privilege today.
Well, I was going to see if the ladies could set up the Adobe Connect for audio, but this will work.
Okay.
Plain old telephone service will work.
Okay. Good. Glad you're on the call. Is there anybody that's not in Adobe that's just on the voice audio? Okay, everybody?
No, there is not.
Good. That's excellent. Okay. Let's start with Principle 1. So you can see that Marika and I exchange comments on number 1. Anybody else want to comment now? And let me ask this. Marika, are you going to, or Mary, or one of you going to keep the pin on this document, or do you need someone else to do that?
This is Rick. I'm happy to try to keep track as we move along. If maybe after we go through things, can confirm where we're at, because sometimes things move around. But I'll try to do that.
And my suggestion would be that we, as people make comments, that we just add them to the comment string on this and create a new version after this meeting. Now, the detailed comments can be added later if you want to just note, and you don't have to do it in Adobe, but just so they're captured, I think that would be helpful. Alan?
Thank you. I'll start off with my standard speech of we're in this situation and with all of these working groups because the term implementation has taken on so many different meanings and there are different phases to it. And therefore, I think stating that the policy and implementation process, without being more specific, must both be based on multi-stakeholder model is something I don't think I could agree to. There are certainly phases of implementation which do not need to be based on the multi-stakeholder model. And if you look back in look forward to the ALAC principles, you know, we use terminology that I think was said, if there is substantive impact to the community to any part of the implementation phase, then it must be based on a multi-stakeholder model. So I think we need to qualify here, as long as we're using the currently undefined or multi-defined words like implementation.
Thanks, Alan. This is Chuck. Help me understand what an implementation shouldn't still be based on a multi-stakeholder model.
Well, there's certainly going to be aspects which are...
Remember to identify yourself for the report.
Yeah, sorry, it's Alan speaking again. There are going to be aspects of implementation for any given policy that are truly implementation, that are what Jeff Newman has been calling execution. And there are decisions to be made which have to do with the details of the process, perhaps the physical implementation, you know, which database system do you pick. Remember, we're talking about a generalized the policy, not necessarily anything specific. So there are going to be aspects which are purely what we envisioned when we used the word implementation, that is, the GNSO decides all of the policy and then tosses it over a wall to staff to implement. When we started using that model, we did not envision that staff would be making decisions which altered the policy or enhanced the policy or elaborated on the policy. We now know that's not an accurate description of what happens in the real world, at least for policies as complex as the new GTLD policy, and probably as complex as the privacy proxy one that we're working on right now. But there are going to be aspects which do match the original model, that is, this is something you can toss it over the wall to the technologists, to the lawyers, to the administrators to implement.
Thanks.
And again, I'm carefully using the multi-defined term implement there just to confuse everyone.
Okay, thanks. Greg.
I would agree, you know, with what Alan, this is Greg Shatton. I would agree with what Alan just said, and I think that if you know, look at the next page of the comments that we're discussing, you know, it says that, you know, certain parts of the implementation process, or at least certain parts, you know, do not need to be bottom up. So I think that the statement is, you know, at a very high level, maybe accurate, you know, subject to, you know, again, agreeing with what Alan said, not everything needs to be, you know, multi-stakeholder, but also I think that the multi-stakeholder concept, you know, wouldn't necessarily be applied the same way in a policy process as opposed to an implementation process. So I think there needs to be, you know, some nuance added to this that would express that, because otherwise I'm concerned that this statement could be, you know, yet another kind of, though I know it's not intended to be, you know, it could be another kind of weapon in the policy versus implementation battle to, you know, say that, you know, you can't implement anything unless it's done multi-stakeholder, just like policy is done. And I think the point is that, implementation can't be done just like policy is done, because policy takes so dang long to work out, and implementation needs to be done at least in somewhat more of a real-time atmosphere. You know, that said, there are certainly, as Alan said, aspects that would be multi-stakeholder. There may even be aspects that may be bottom-up. I think somewhere in all this we should acknowledge, you know, the concept of, you know, implementation and review teams as being kind of at least a multi-stakeholder tool to have a voice in ongoing implementation without necessarily using the multi-stakeholder concept to slow implementation down. To some extent, we need for the multi-stakeholder model to meet the implementation time frame and not vice versa. Thank you.
Thanks, Greg. Alan.
Thank you. You know, I started off by referencing the first ALAC principle, and I think those are the kind of words we need here. That doesn't define it with a high level of clarity, but says the intent. That is, if people are going to be impacted, and later on we use the term obligations, and I'm going to critique that as well, because I think impacted or affected is a much clearer term, then the community needs to be involved in the decisions. That's going to vary if we're doing another new GTLD process versus doing, the locking of a domain during UDRP. You know, the details will vary highly, and whether an implementation review team would be sufficient for a new GTLD policy is questionable. You know, look at how many hundreds of people and hundreds of thousands of people hours were involved in that implementation review team, which constituted the whole community over 4 years. So the details are going to vary, but I think the principle has to say if we're affected, we need to be participants.
Thanks, Alan. Nick?
Yeah, I mean, I think in principle, the idea that only, you know, implementation would need to be consulted from multi-stakeholder model when you're affected sounds really good, but I just don't really understand how you would practically apply that principle. So I think depending on the decision, there's going to be someone on some side of the issue who's going to say, look, this is impacting me. So I think that there has to be another step that somehow gets at, a significant impact, an impact to X, something that's farther than just if it impacts an affected party, or even some process for an impacted party to say, look, this is affecting me. I think as it stands now, that there's really no way to say this implementation decision is impacting me, right? I think that's a lot of the frustration is that the implementation kind of, you know, leapfrogs affected parties effectively.
Thanks, Nick. Michael.
Oh, I thought you would call Marika first. We're still talking about one. I think maybe our discussion is being a little bit more specific than called for with this general principle that they be based in the multi-stakeholder model, which I think acknowledges that in some cases the constituencies need to be involved and in others they need not. But all of that derives from, as I understand it, the multi-stakeholder model, which is looking after the interests of stakeholders throughout that model. I don't think it's saying that constituencies necessarily need to be involved with implementation itself. Decisions are being carried out, but that in considering the whole process, we need to keep in mind that multi-stakeholder model. That's the way I'm reading this.
Thanks, Michael. Marika.
Yeah, this is Marika. I actually had a question in relation to Alan's comment, or maybe a clarification, because he's saying that the multi-stakeholder model needs to be in effect or applied when there's a significant impact to stakeholders. But Are you meaning if there is a different impact from what the policy recommendations intended? Because obviously it's quite clear that policy recommendations will have a certain impact on contracted parties. So my understanding is if there are concerns or issues about that, those are raised through the policy discussions. So do you mean basically that if, as part of the implementation discussions, there is an additional impact beyond those originally foreseen, that the multi-stakeholder model needs to be involved? Or are you saying, so basically whenever there is an impact, even if that is already foreseen as part of the policy recommendations, the multi-stakeholder model needs to be applied?
Ellen, you want to respond to that?
Yeah. I can tell you what I mean, and I'm not quite sure how to phrase it, however, in a concise way. What I mean is if during the, quote, implementation process, a decision point comes up, and how that decision is made is going to have, you know, significantly different impact on the parties. Put another way is if the PDP, assuming this came out of a PDP, if the PDP team had thought about this issue, they would have put the details in. But, you know, they didn't go down that path or didn't think that far or hadn't foreseen it. Now, I completely agree that the challenge of how do we judge when something is of that category or not is going to be challenging. But I think that's the substantive issue. Is a decision being made where the community feels a debate must be had?
Thanks. Okay, I'm going to jump in now. I appreciate it.
I'm going to cry.
I guess I'm looking at multi-stakeholder different than some of you, because I don't think just because you have something that's an execution or that is implementation of something that was detailed enough that it's pretty clear in terms of how you implement it, that is not multi-stakeholder. The implementation, even though it may be straightforward and not need further community involvement, doesn't in any way go contrary to the multi-stakeholder model. It's still multi-stakeholder. Now, as you can see, I put in parentheses here that, you know, we talked in the drafting team about this, and one of the conclusions I thought was pretty well accepted was that, and some of you, most of you have said this in your comments just now, that the need for multi-stakeholderism doesn't end when you go from policy to implementation. Now, the implementation part may be just a matter of the policy-making body confirming that things were implemented as intended and according to the policy. But that's still multi-stakeholder. You're relying on the council of the supporting organization to at least confirm that. And I think also on this, we have to look at, and some of you did this as well, you have to look at this one based on other principles because they're interrelated. For example, Greg mentioned principle 2, but there's also a principle down there that says, you know, basically if things are administrative, you go ahead and do it. That doesn't mean it's not multi-stakeholder. Now, I think, last of all, before I turn it over to Cheryl, maybe it's a matter of the way this is worded. So maybe something like this would work better, and we don't need to discuss. I'll throw it out now, but I want to go to Cheryl and Ellen first. Maybe we should say something like the need for multi-stakeholder principles doesn't end when you switch from policy to implementation. And then, of course, some of the other principles, and maybe we need to combine those other principles with this one rather than treating them separately. And I'll stop there and turn it over to Cheryl.
Chuck, this is Cheryl. And as is often the case, you just go and steal the words out of my mouth in the second part. You must stop doing that, Chuck. Anybody think we followed each other? The two things I wanted to raise, the first one was I thought there was an opportunity, now we've discussed these impacts and the degrees of impacts perhaps coming under some form of testing or criteria establishment, that we toss those terms back to the 0A team, because it's a term issue. I think it's actually one, believe it or not, Michael, that we should pick up, impact and the various degrees thereof, so significant impact, significant community impact, blah, 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 which means it's off our plate and onto our plate on another sub-team. So that's one point. The other point was I was going to suggest that the enshrined values that we all believe in the multi-stakeholder model type talk should be an overarching one, and then we go into the principles as subs of those. So that's very much what you were just saying, Chuck. And I think if we do that, it will, A, make our work easier, but, B, make it less of a risk. And I see the way these are written now as a risk, that some people will use this as leverage for roadblocking when an outcome is simply not going the way they would like it. And I think in the discussions we've had here so far, there's been some really good phrasing and terminology used. When Marika asked Alan to clarify, you know, there was a couple of decision points that he articulated that we could draw some work from. Thank you.
Thanks, Cheryl. Alan.
Thank you. Two things. First of all, I tend to agree with what Cheryl just said, and I'll phrase it a different way. We never want the multi-stakeholder model to become the equivalent of a veto for one small segment of the multi-stakeholder community. And, you know, so whatever we do, we have to make sure that saying there has to be involvement does not give vetoes. And there's always the danger that these processes can be used as an effective veto, although we would never use that word. I cringe a little bit, Chuck, at, you know, when you say what we mean by the multi-stakeholder model is, you know, well, it has to be involved when it's necessary, but not always, because people have different interpretations. I'll give a concrete example, a recent one. When Fadi held the 7 o'clock meeting in Buenos Aires and to talk about OneNet, and he had sent out an email to the chairs of the ACs, SOs, working group, or constituency stakeholder groups, saying we need a body within ICANN to act as a coordination body. Please self-organize. You know, talk amongst yourselves and come up with something that you think works. That was viewed by some people as a violation of the multi-stakeholder model because the request came from the top. And I thought that his technique was completely reasonable. He says, you know, we need a body. You guys at the bottom decide how to do it and come back and make a recommendation or just do it, I think he said. And that, but that was viewed by some as a violation of the multi-stakeholder model because the request came from the top.
It became heresy. It was incredible.
So I think we need to be careful at assuming everyone's worldview is the same when we talk about multi-stakeholderism. Thank you.
Thanks, Alan. So this is Chuck again. Let me ask another question. And I agree, I think, with just about everything everybody said about, except for maybe that it's not that implementation doesn't still need to be in a make it multi-stakeholder model, but what activities and implementation would you see that wouldn't follow the multi-stakeholder model?
I think Alan gave some didn't he?
Well,
I mean,
but I countered some of those. So let's go through them one at a time. This is Chuck again. So name one of them, Alan.
Sure, right, database selection.
Right, writing, deciding on which database to use. Another one is writing the contract language.
Why is that inconsistent with a multi-stakeholder model?
If the supporting
organization has recommended that something be implemented, okay, and that was done in a multi-stakeholder way, then all that's happening is you're doing what came out of the multi-stakeholder process. That's not
I guess the difference is, in your terminology, I mean, if you look at the Trademark Clearinghouse, for instance, they have done, I don't know how many thousands, tens of thousands of person hours of development, to implement the policy or implement the implementation or whatever, to execute it, to carry it out. That's why I like the term execution better, because it can be viewed much more as the engineering part of it, not the policy part. And, currently our terms are so imprecise. And as I said, people have different views of how multi-stakeholderism should work. That, and if you believe no decision should be made without asking everyone what they think, then that's a recipe for getting no progress and no headway at all.
Yeah, I get that. So, this is Chuck again. Before I go to Greg, let me respond to something there, though. I don't think that Trademark Clearinghouse is the example you wanted.
Probably not.
Because in that case, IBM did a whole bunch of stuff on the technical side without involving the impacted parties. And so for several months now, all of that's being fixed.
Chuck, I agree. It wasn't a good case. And besides, under our current ICANN definitions, the whole Trademark Clearinghouse is implementation. It wasn't policy. It was a bad example, and almost any example we give in today's world is going to be bad because the words we use are so confusing. All I was trying to suggest when I started this thread is that we put words in there to say that imply or whatever that there are some aspects of the overall what we're calling implementation which may not involve a bottom-up decision process.
Which is principle two. But, yeah, we're in agreement there.
It's the terminology. Your terminology, I'm afraid, can be read by some people as every step of the implementation must be done under a multi-stakeholder
model. Yeah, and that's what we want to fix. This is Chuck again. I don't think we're really far off from one another, but we just need to work on words, I think.
Yeah, correct.
Cheryl?
Thank you, Chuck. Cheryl here, and I'm busy typing at the same time because, I think we're kind of in rampant agreement, but we need to be really careful. Chuck, I think you're being far too kind and generous in your ability to believe that other people will behave reasonably on this. I think we need to be as loctite as possible and as detailed as practical to put some bright as lines as possible. Am I being clear here? That what we don't mean is that the enshrined principles of our ICANN multi-stakeholder model get to be rehashed and rehashed and rehashed at various points in the process unless certain criteria happen. For example, during a already established implementation phase from a policy outcome, a decision note is met that a reasonable person, and here I mean the legally wonderful in the corner of every lawyer's room, reasonable person, would assume there is a, let's say the term is, significant impact from that decision. At that point, we all want to loop back. But on something such as let's use the choice of the database, do we really want to have no less than 3 months of expressions of interest or calls for quotations from at least three entirely different based companies from at least three entirely different geographic regions? You see where I'm heading? It's down a rabbit hole. And I really want to avoid that because, trust me, some people will take us there. Thanks.
Thanks, Cheryl. And no disagreement at all. I agree with that. We do want to avoid that. I guess a question for you before I go to Greg is, and we don't need to answer this right now. We can come back to it. But it, should we have a principle that there, maybe it's a sub-principle of where we're at, that says that criteria must be developed and enforced with regard to when, you know, a more bottom-up process or whatever, how, whatever terms we want should be used. And I'll just leave that and turn it to Greg.
Thanks, Chuck. This is Greg Shatton. Following on the our hypothetical database choice, one of the things that I was concerned about in looking at the idea that this, you know, must follow the or be based on the multi-stakeholder model was the idea that somehow each stakeholder group should somehow have a voice in choosing the database, and that, you know, in essence, that the database, that the choice of the database would almost be subject to a working group model, you know, with everyone meeting, you know, for 90 minutes, you know, every 2 weeks to discuss the database until the database was chosen, you know, some years later, you know, if you, you'd never get a database that way. So
old-fashioned one that was no longer relevant.
Exactly. So that's my concern, is the multi-stakeholder model isn't necessarily the working group model. The affected parties is an interesting issue, because the issue is if only the affected parties kind of get to weigh in or participate, other parties may feel like they're affected too, or they're affected by the way that the affected parties interact with the implementation team as well. And not to take this off course a little bit, but in thinking about this and also seeing a note in the chat, you know, couldn't the definitions team help us? You know, first I would say that, you know, definitions and principles are inextricably intertwined, even though we've extricated them for the purposes of these subgroups. And in thinking about, you know, obviously, you know, a lot of the issue here is that people try to, you know, wrap a, you know, kind of big thing up in a implementation blanket and kind of try to sneak it through, or alternatively, people try to take something that's implementation and call it policy so that it won't happen. You know, it's that kind of, you know, issue that has some, you know, some extent brought us all together over the last, you know, several months and today. And that's part of what we're trying to avoid. And I think another way of looking at this, and this may be a terrible, you know, way to define it, but it's kind of the way I've been thinking about it, is that there could be kind of policy-neutral implementation, such as the choice of a database should be policy-neutral. In other words, it's not one of those devils in the details that changes really the way the policy ends up turning out. And then there's kind of implementation that really affects policy, you know, such that, you know, I think as somebody said earlier on the call, if the working group had, you know, faced that issue, it would have been controversial. There would have been, you know, different voices with different, you know, significant opinions, and in essence, how that implementation takes place really changes how the policy turns out. You know, as someone once said, a camel is a horse created by a committee, and if, you know, the implementation team is discussing whether or not there should be a hump or the size of the hump and should there be one or two humps, is that, in essence, policy and not merely implementation. And, you know, maybe I'll stop there, but I think the idea of kind of policy-neutral implementation versus kind of policy-affecting implementation, and maybe whether that first kind should be called execution and the second kind should be called implementation, or the first one should be called implementation and the second one should really go back to policy. But I think that we're trying to distinguish between things that are more or less mechanical, would be non-controversial if every stakeholder, you know, had a chance to look at it, and those that, you know, would be, in essence, kind of controversial, or at least, you know, call for or thought and robust discussion, because Now, the last thing we want to do is to take execution or mechanical or policy neutral implementation and slow it down to the speed of the PDP. Thank you.
Thank you, Greg. Your term policy neutral is quite popular, as you can see in the chat. A quick question before giving it to Alan, and that is, and we, again, we can deal with this later, but is that clear enough on its own, or should we ask the definitions team to define it? And I'll go now to Alan.
Thank you. In its wisdom, the group that came up with the subteams and the order of the subteams and set that definitions can run in parallel with policy, with principles, I think was an error. We're sitting here trying to define principles using terms which are ill and multiply defined. And it's not particularly surprising that we're having difficulty. So I think we either have to defer to the definitions group and sit by until they finish their work and hope that they meet the needs that we see in the definitions by the time they finish, or we need to come up with interim definitions ourselves to state in the policy. And I think we're doing that right now, and in fact, we may be in a better position to feed back good definitions to the definitions group than work in the other direction, because we're not only trying to define things, we're trying to use them. And all of the problems and foibles of bad definitions will become very obvious to us as we're trying to use these definitions in establishing principles which cannot be misunderstood by people. So I like the policy-neutral implementation. I hate it because it's using the word both policy and implementation in one definition. But I think things like execution, policy-neutral implementation, the in-between phase was called by some people as implementation design followed by execution. I think we need to come up with some of those working definitions so that our principles have clarity. Using the term policy neutral implementation implies that some parts of implementation are policy, and therefore that is in conflict with the term policy. I can propose ones that I'm using in discussions. Maybe other people need to do the same thing, or maybe I can do it and let people critique it, because I think we need precision in the words before we can come up with principles that will be agreed to and understood. Thank you.
Thanks, Alan. Greg, is that an old hand?
It was before
that
mine, so it must have been.
Yeah, an old hand.
Okay, thanks. Aubrey, are you able to talk a little bit? Because you take exception, it looks like, to – this is Chuck, by the way – take exception to the policy-neutral term. You think everything has policy implications. And I think, to be very literal, that's probably true. But is there some way we can modify the term or another term that would help us provide some guidelines?
Yeah, this is Aubrey speaking. Thanks for asking. And the reason I'm being slow to get involved is because of everything else I've been doing. I haven't been involved yet in this group as I meant to be. My problem is that I don't believe that, whether it was it's happened in the scientific realms or anything else, that anything is ever completely separate. So you have, in my mind, a degree of interaction between policy affecting and policy neutrality action to perhaps a limit. So that you could say things like picking the database is, or picking the CMS that you use, is purely a technical solution. And yet, in that, there are capabilities defined, there are interfaces that become possible. So even the simplest. Now, in many cases, you're going to look at that and say, oh, yeah, but those policy issues don't matter to us in this case. So it's not that something is policy neutral. It's that the policy that it affects doesn't happen to be something we cared about. If the original process that we got all the way down to when the CMS was going to be picked was we have to provide better user interface for modifying and aggregating content and for being able to search that content based on certain fields, and then we get down to the decision of what CMS, that becomes quite significant, and it becomes a poly decision. If, in other words, it's just an unnamed back end that nobody cares about, then perhaps it is nearly policy neutral, though even then not. So I have a feeling that my perception is actually in a different realm than you've all talking, because you're talking like there's a time when policy ends as opposed to there's a time when policy reaches the point that we don't really care about that. But it doesn't end. And so that's where I end up with issue. And so, sorry.
No, that's no apologies needed, because we need to, as several people have pointed out, we need to be precise. And the more holes we can poke and stuff, the better what we come up with is going to be. Before I go to Cheryl, I want to call everybody's attention to Principle 4 for a minute, because I think it relates a lot to what we're talking about, and that's the idea of the integration. You know, there's a continuing integration of policy and implementation, and I think we all understand that, and that's part of what we're talking about right now. The challenge will be to come up with some guidelines that people can use to benefit from these principles, whatever principles we do come up with. Cheryl, go ahead.
My perspective, what it does is make even more important the concept of an impact test coming into play, and that there needs to be an opportunity where we can have community saying, a reasonable person would assume that a decision about, insert whatever it is, the database, da-da-da, doesn't matter, has a significant impact on community or just on our community because, and if that is the case, therefore it has to go back into a different loop. So I just wanted to come in and say that whilst I'm definitely not in the camp of having principles that are far too open for what we can see as micro manipulation and micromanagement, because I don't think that's an efficiency. I think we do need the safety nets of having the ability to say, hang on, this has a significant impact, therefore those terms need to be defined as a sidebar, and therefore it needs to be addressed properly. Thank you.
Thanks, Cheryl. Looking at the chat as well as some of the comments that are made, I'm getting the impression that if we do use the term policy neutral or some variation of it, it would be helpful to have a definition of that. And so might want to pass that on to the definitions team if people think I'm right on that. Let's see, again, focusing on Principle 1, let me first of all ask this. Understanding that we're going to have to connect some other sub-principles or whatever, I think, okay? Is there a rewording of that based on our discussion so far today that might work better than what we have there? I think one of the things that I think is important, we want to avoid a situation that ICANN staff and I guess in essence the board too came to, where they basically made the conclusion that this is implementation, so we don't need to consult with the community. And I suspect that we're we're all in agreement on that. And so is there any, are there any suggestions? I threw out one, but does somebody have another suggestion as how you would reword the high-level principle that the community needs to be involved in many cases beyond just policy development? And I'll stop there and see if anybody has any suggestions.
Chuck, it's Alan. Could you say that again? I think I agree, but try saying it again.
It was really more of a question, Alan. This is Chuck. I was, how could we word number one, forgetting the subparts that we're going to have to work with, I'll come to that in a minute, that would fit more of what we're all saying, understanding that we have some slight variances, but again, I think that we have more common ground than not. So, and while you're thinking about that, let me go to Cheryl.
Thanks, Chuck. Cheryl again. I think what I'm going to say in response to your question is I wouldn't be rewording one. I'd be putting an overarching principle in.
Which would be?
Which I think, as I sort of said earlier, somehow made sure, and this is not trying to wordsmith, this is giving, pardon the pun, just principles on what the words should be saying, should be really clearly articulating the enshrined values of the multi-stakeholder model and the wide input that is sought from community on policy development and processes that could be called into effect on policy outcome. Whatever that language can be, I think needs to be a superset sentence. And then we go into the principles and start dividing up policy v. implementation underneath that. Sorry, thanks.
Thanks. No need to say sorry. That sounds very constructive to me. But I'm going to ask you to do something if you would. Would you, in the next day or two, put that into writing so
no.
that not just those of us on the call?
No, I'm catering for a function for 70 people, and in fact, I have sources
how
to make and turkeys to do right now.
How much time do you need?
So not in the next few days. Sorry.
Okay. So as soon as you can, would you put that in writing, please?
After the next few days, yes, I'll have a go.
Thanks. Alan, go ahead.
Yeah, let me give a non-PDP example that may guide us in trying to pick words for that apply in the world we're looking at. The decision of whether ICANN should set up a regional office in Singapore or Hong Kong is going to have a significant impact on parts of our community. But it's not something that needed to be decided by the multi-stakeholder model. Somehow we have to enshrine that concept. I don't know how.
Well, I want you to think about how. Okay, not necessarily in this meeting, but,
yeah.
But you know, this has been great discussion, and we have to be able to translate all the things that we're saying,
operational
which I think are more consistent
yeah.
than inconsistent, into a way that it's helpful for the community, for staff, and for the board.
Yeah.
Now, another question that I'm going to throw out, and we have about 5 minutes, so I want to kind of wrap up next steps and so forth in the next 5 minutes, but a lot of us have talked about the need for some guidelines, some criteria, and so forth in terms of when there needs to be more community involvement. My question for the group that we can take some maybe quick responses on is, do you think that the principles that we're tasked with developing and proposing to the broader working group should involve those guidelines, or is that something that would be an implementation issue that's handled later? Alan?
Sorry, that was an old hand.
Okay. You need to get some new hands.
Sorry, all of me is getting rather old at this point.
Me too. So, what do you think about that? I mean, should this little subteam 0B, try to develop some guidelines, or is that something that should be done later, either by the working group or maybe even after the working group presents its recommendations?
Chuck, I won't put up an old hand, but
go ahead, Alan.
I think the exercise of trying to do that, of trying to set up guidelines, you know, before we have the principles, I think will help us design the principles. So I think that's a useful exercise. I'm
Thanks,
not sure
Alan.
It's part of our mandate, and I'm not sure it's a deliverable, but I think it's a useful exercise.
Thank you, Alan. This is Chuck. Anybody disagree with that? Okay. So one of one of the things we're going to need to do here is start doing that. Now, another question before we close today. Which of the principles that we have right now do you think should be integrated in the sense that they're sub-principles of one major principle or so forth? Greg, before he had to leave, of course, mentioned principle two. What other principles kind of go together in this general topic that we've been talking about today?
It's Alan. I'll hazard a guess. I suspect once we come up with terminology which is not multi-defined, there'll be a lot fewer principles. And therefore, they either get eliminated because they're intuitively obvious based on the definitions, or they're redundant. I suspect. I don't know that for a fact because I don't think... You know, until we do it, I'm not sure we know the answer.
Okay. Anybody else have thoughts on that? Chuck.
It's Cheryl here. If we're turning this on, and this is not an answer to your question, unfortunately, but it's a thought that your question spawned in my head whilst I'm thinking about bread sauce and brandy butter, that if we're going to turn things upside down a little bit and have an overarching principle that somehow enshrines the multi-stakeholder model and the bottom-up processes that we all value so much, that perhaps where we go later on in all these principles to re-articulate the very important core values out of the bylaws, and then I would go so far as to say, and perhaps add any principles from other statements that come in, noting I am not limiting that to the existing ALAC one. There may be some there that we all agree can be collected, but there may be others that come in from other advice that is yet to be brought to the table on that, thinking hopefully of GAC, that we might get rid of all of those up front and above what then is an enumerated list of principles. And then if we do that, because there is some repetition. If you think about the timeliness, for example, that I think, what is it, principle 8 or 9, I can't remember, core value 8 or 9, one of those numbers anyway, out of the bylaws, you know, acting with the speed that's appropriate to the internet line, you know, some of that language that we've then got in our other proposed principles might be able to be shrunk, you know what I mean?
Yes. Thanks, Cheryl. Nick.
Yeah, I think as far as combining, I think this whole conversation that we've had today is kind of an extension of the comments we had back and forth in number three, and is touching a lot on those issues. So I think there's room for three to become at least maybe not a subset, but somehow integrated in with one. I think as far as the other kind of putting together, you know, there's some that are a little bit more on the administrative side. So that would be like the corrections principle, maybe some of the timeliness ones. I think that there's, you know, another grouping there of some kind of administrative overarching principle, but I think three and one are really getting at the same issue, at least the discussion that we had today on number one.
Thanks, Nick. And I think that some of those principles may actually be part of the guidelines, for example, the administrative or error correction,
mm-hmm.
things like that. So we've got a little bit of start on the guidelines that Alan suggested would be a good exercise for us. Okay, we're out of time, assuming we're only going to go an hour, which I was. Cheryl, you have an action item. First action
yep.
item is to get your catering function done.
Thank you.
And then if you could.
I've got pickled pork soaking as we speak. You know, you've only got part of my attention here, Chuck.
Okay. All right. Good. Thanks. That I think once you do have time to communicate that to the list, I think that'll help us in terms of working further. I'd like to encourage everyone to add comments to the document. And just following the format that's there, if you know how to do it, go ahead and accept the previous comments and create a new red line that shows yours.
Mm-hmm.
And then we always try to use the most current version, and then we will have a string there under each one. Now, the other thing I'd like you to think about is looking at the different principles, how they might group together. Again, that may depend on what Cheryl gives us, but at the same time, like Nick just suggested, three and one may be very closely related, and then some of the things may be part of the guidelines. You can identify those, but between now and the next time we meet, and that's my last item, and I see Marika's got her hand up. She's probably going to talk about this, but I'll say very quickly, we need to decide when we're going to meet next. Let me turn it over to Marika.
This is Marika. Just to note that I did capture some of the conversation, which I've for now all grouped on a common or a principle one, which is, I think, where we started. But obviously, some of this, you know, relates as well to the other elements. So I don't know if it's still helpful to leave this in the document and send it out as is and have people add to it, or if I just take out all these notes and just put them in the email and then people can decide whether they want to add them or integrate them in the relevant sections. Is that helpful?
What
would be helpful, Cheryl? This is Chuck. To include them in the comments under in the number one, or to submit them separately.
Put them separately into an email so we can pick and choose.
Okay, I think that's probably good, and then we can integrate them into the flow of comments as we see fit. Anybody object to that?
And this is Marika. So I'll just take it out separately, and you know, already apologize as well if I missed anyone's comments, or you know, I tried to keep track, but I think some things were overlapping. So you know, feel free to add anything I didn't capture there, of course, into the document, so we have it all there.
Okay, thank you. And Nick, is that an old hand?
Yeah, I'm sorry, that is an old hand.
Okay. All right. Well, I think we'll wrap it up now. Okay, great discussion. Hopefully in the next few meetings we can start narrowing in on specifics, but this created, I think, a good foundation for moving forward, and I appreciate the participation in this call and on the list. And one last question. Marika, is that an old hand?
No, it's a new one because I want to know about our next call.
Thank you.
Do you want to schedule same time next week for a call, or do we reconvene after the holidays, or do we need to do a new doodle poll for next week? Of course, ideally, same time, same date would be the easiest because we can confirm that now.
Let's resolve that right now. That would be the 19th, right?
Works for me.
Same time, same station.
I won't be able to attend if it's that time. Unfortunately, it's Alan. I have an off-premises meeting at that point.
What would work for you then, Alan? If we could just shift in time, not day.
2 hours earlier, 2 hours later would work.
I don't have a problem either way.
I can't do the earlier.
Who was that?
That was
this
Avery.
Is Avery.
Avery.
No, Avery, thanks.
How about 2 hours later?
2 hours later, that's not a problem for me.
It's okay with me. A
bit later for Marika.
Yeah,
it's okay.
Well, Marika really likes later, especially on Fridays.
Yeah, but this is a Thursday, right?
It's only Friday for me, Chuck.
The humor in that, you had to be on the early conversations before we started the recording.
Oh, okay, so, right.
So, well, we
won't take Marika to a Friday as long as she promises not to take me to too many Saturdays.
I think it's okay for me, so why don't we try that, at least put it out there, and if there are any big objections, we can revisit. But I think it would be good if we had one more call before everybody breaks.
Hell yeah.
For the end of the year, so that sounds good to me. Thanks, guys.
Thank you, Chuck.
Okay.
Thanks for taking the lead, Chuck.
Okay.
All right.
Bye.
Okay.
Bye.
Bye.
Thank you, Kathy. We'll now stop the recording. Thank you very much.
Thank you.